turn to Proverbs chapter 6. We're talking about wisdom still. I'm going to visit a little bit familiar ground, and it'll be a little similar to other lessons I've taught, just because it's so much of a theme of Proverbs, Proverbs 6. And we talked about this with prudence and just preparation and things. But I think that it's so common in Proverbs. And Proverbs 6, one of the things I like to do is sometimes I keep all the messages, and every once in a while I go back and look through them and just kind of see what we've preached on. And when I'm done with the spectrum of my preaching, what I like to do is have my preaching look like the Bible. In other words, it's on all the subjects of the Bible. Maybe there's more emphasis where the Bible emphasizes more and things. And so if we're going to talk about wisdom, I think that Proverbs is full of what I'm going to talk about, and it was just a matter of what part of Proverbs we wanted to use for us. And use for this particular lesson, and Proverbs 6, and we'll be where we've been a little bit before, but we'll go a little different direction. Verse 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise. I just remember, pray for Ron and Pam. They're down in California already. They made a safe trip. I just want to let you know that, and they already went to the church they're going to go to on Sunday, Brother Esposito's church, and checked it out. So they're set and ready to go, and pray that they're son, he's supposed to go to church with them on Sunday, and he lives pretty close to the church, so pray for that. They really want to see their kids come to the Lord, so I wanted to mention that when I thought of it. Proverbs 6, verse 7, which having no guide or overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? In this next verse, the phrasing of it is saying, well, I just need a little bit more. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little of the folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. It just comes quickly. Poverty and want comes quickly to the lazy people. And that's the Bible says. And let's go ahead and pray. We'll talk about it. Father, thank you for the chance to talk about your word, and thank you for the wonder of your word, and thank you for the truth of it. Lord, it's amazing this book written. Lord, I can read an old book, and I read old books, and some I read, and they're nice, or they're good, but they're outdated. Even a fiction book, I can read an old book about, and it's totally outdated, yet nothing in the Bible is outdated. It all works today. It's amazing. It's the only book like that. 200-year-old books just seem so irrelevant. In practical terms, we thank you. Your word never is. These principles are forever, and we thank you for your inspired word that we can trust. Help us tonight and speak to every heart. We need your help, Lord, and we know we need you tonight, and we know you want to speak to us. We pray that that would happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Ants don't have emergencies in winter, except for when people like me who see anthills and like to see them start moving faster come along. That's the only time. How many of you are mean to the anthill? You think it's fun to watch him? Oh, man, you're a cruel crowd. I thought it'd just be a few of them. I was with a pastor recently, and they have a bunch of property behind their house, and they have a giant anthill out there, and he says they have a Russian family, and he says those Russian eat ants. They come there after church with a straw and they eat ants. And I thought that's interesting. I guess you'll never starve. And now the grandpa and the son come out there, and they have a good time, I guess. And how many wouldn't do that? How many do it in a famine? I'd do it in a famine. And I thought that was kind of interesting. Kind of hard to separate them, I guess, from the rest of their hill. And ants don't have a lot of emergencies in the winter. And I'm really honestly, this message, I could say one sentence, you'd understand it, and you'd say, okay, we're done. But then I wouldn't be worth my money. And we're going to illustrate it several different ways. But so many emergencies and so much stress and so many things are so much a matter of something previous or a lack of preparation. And then it's now an emergency because you don't foresee things. That's a lot of life. You just said that because you want me to stop preaching and be done. We see that. If I could illustrate this, every year, and I saw it yesterday, as a matter of fact, Every year we go out and buy a bunch of ice melt because we have a steep driveway here, and boy, our old church, boy, that had a steep hill, and we have that. Now, you understand, if you try to go buy ice melt or that stuff, if you try to go buy it in a snowstorm or the day before the snowstorm, you don't buy any. But if you buy it right now, there's tons and it's cheap. And somebody could be at a church. Let's say we go and we prepare and we put all that stuff down there, and we get it down there, and we're all ready, and people can come to church because, you know, we're all prepared. And another church doesn't do that, and a car slides into the parking lot and slides into the car. And what they say is, well, you know, God must have had a plan. And maybe God did if it didn't come to anybody's mind. Or, boy, this is a disaster. Why did you do this, Lord? But sometimes a little forethought, a little planning ahead, will help you a lot. And a lot of times you don't need to pray out of the disaster when you look ahead and don't get into the disaster. And it applies to a lot of different ways. Foresight, preparing early. It does a few things. It keeps things from becoming emergencies. And that's very important. In other words, if you eat right, let's say when you're young, and this is so hard for us to do, and I understand this. I don't do well at this. I'm working more and more at it. But you understand, you can come to the Lord when you're 50 and say, Lord, my whole body's falling apart. I've got this, and I have this problem, this problem, this problem, this problem. But and that's good, and God's good, and pray about it. But understand, if when you're 30 and your body changes, remember you used to be able to put on weight, now you can put on weight, and all of a sudden you have that extra weight, you haven't been exercising, and your blood pressure's high, and your joints have been taking a pounding for the extra weight, and all those things happen. If you'd have foreseen that, and maybe taken more care of yourself. And understand, not everybody, that's the case. Some people take good care of themselves and they get the worst health issues. But I'm saying a little foresight makes it so you don't say, God, save my teeth. They want to pull all of them. And God says, you should have brushed them when you're 14. You kind of put yourself in a disaster situation where, you know what, a good, merciful God might help you out of your bad situation because he's nice. But foresight makes things much easier. And we see that. It keeps things from becoming emergencies. Let me illustrate this. So here's a person with their money, and we'll just touch on money a little bit tonight. But they put away an emergency fund, and let's say all they can put away over 2 years' time, they put away $1,000. And that's not enough for an emergency fund, by the way. But they put that away. And then all of a sudden, they're driving to work day, and kaboom! Something goes out in their engine, and all of a sudden, they've got a major repair to do. And they've got to get to work. Now they're desperate. And now, you know what they do? Oh, God, what am I going to do? This is such a disaster. But really, if they'd have saved $50 a month, they might have been able to fix that thing. And now it's not an emergency. You see, you made it go from being an emergency to a non-emergency. And your stress level went way down. Matter of fact, you might have enough money to rent a car during the days when your car is getting repaired because you did that. So in other words, something that would have been an emergency is now not an emergency. I think that's why my wife and both of us have life insurance. And if both of us passed away, we have a plan. And there's enough money where my kids would be just fine till they're all raised. We do that. And I have to my wife, you know, if my wife passed away, you know what kind of trouble I would be in? I mean, if I passed away, she'd have problems, but I would also have problems. Let alone missing her, but I'm just talking just... I don't change diapers. It'd be like maybe 18. I'd say, okay, you're done now. But I change diapers. I'm lying. But you understand, here would be an emergency, yet not a complete disaster. All the times when I've been at the deathbed or been called by frantic people. And so what am I going to do? Our breadwinner just died. What am I going to do? We don't even know what to do. And there's nobody. And now it's a complete emergency. And now it goes into probate, and the kids become wards of the state, and it's just, whoa, because you didn't go file a $150 will. And so you think ahead, you plan ahead. And I don't think that's unbiblical. The aunt goes ahead and does those things. It keeps things from becoming emergencies or disasters. It lowers the level of everything. A bad event is a bad event, not an emergency. An emergency is an emergency, but not a disaster. And because we thought ahead, we planned ahead, we had something in case. My trunk, if I break down in the middle of nowhere, my trunk is prepared for that. I'm not going to be starving or dying of thirst or without a flashlight or anything else. It's prepared. Of course, it's probably all expired and doesn't work anymore, but I'd feel good about it. And we have all that stuff and we're prepared for that. And by the way, did you know when the power went out? Remember the 5-day power outage? Did you know how much of a disaster that was for people? They were not prepared. I went to one house. I went in the house, and they had just saved up and just bought a big, beautiful shelf, and they're burning in the fireplace trying to stay warm. I mean, out of the box, into the fireplace. We went and brought people wood because we were prepared. We brought people wood. And they said, how do I light a fire? We had a light. I'd say in one day we had to light 7 fires for people. Went and knocked on one house, opened the door, and just smoke. I mean, billows of smoke. We said, you got to get out of that house. Said, no, it's been smoky all day. Went inside. They never lit a fire, so they didn't know you had to pull the little thing back, and their thing was closed in their fireplace. I mean, for hours. I don't even know how they're alive. I mean, we went in one house. He brought a guy, a bunch of wood, and he says, I'm from Hawaii. Well, actually, we left in the wood, went and got other people wood. He came and found it. Says, I'm from Hawaii. I've never lit a fire in my life. What do I do? Because they're not prepared. They don't know that. And I'm not, and you should have, and we've said, have our emergency food and all that stuff, have candles and all that. But just a mindset, it keeps things from becoming emergencies or disasters. They don't need to go that far. Next, it makes things better in the future. Amen. Makes things better in the future. Next, it eases pressure and stress. It eases pressure and stress. You want to know when a man is happy? When he is prepared and his wife has told him, what is all this junk? And then you need it. That is joy. And but we all know that when he needs it, he's been tripping over it for 11 months. Now he can't find it. And but we know, you know what? It is. Actually, when you prepare well and you get to use your preparation, it's really fun. It's really fun. And doing that in life is good. Retirees right now, we're in such trouble because the older generation was smart. They paid off their houses. They saved their money. They went through the Great Depression. The baby boomers retiring right now weren't smart, didn't pay off their houses, and didn't prepare for retirement. They spent every dime. And they were thinking Social Security is going to take care of them, and they're doing math right now, and they're greeting you at Walmart. And, hey, I'm glad they're still working. But they did not prepare. And you know what? They are very stressed out, and they aren't playing shuffleboard in their Bermuda shorts now. They're out working, and they're stressing out. And they're trying to do everything they can because they didn't think ahead, and they didn't do their math very well. They didn't plan on $5 a gallon gas. And the mom and dad make it on Social Security. How come I'm so far away from it? Because mom and dad paid off their house, and you kept on taking loans on your house, and you kept on spending all your money, and you didn't think about you still have a mortgage when you're 60. And it's that lack of preparation in every way. It eases the pressure and stress and the worry of life. Retirees thinking just because they have Social Security, they were fine, they're in trouble because they didn't prepare, think things through, do their math, and all those things. Just a few different ways we're supposed to prepare when I show you. Number one is in finances. That's what I think here. We learn about the ant here is the finances. If you look at Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 9, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? Verse 8, which provideth her meat in summer and gather her food in the harvest. So during the harvest time, in the summertime, is when they're gathering their food because there's not as much food in the winter. And really the basis of the message is when you get there into the disaster, it's very hard to take care of things. It's very hard to figure things out. And it's very important. So in your finances, there are so many things. There are so many things that can happen. Most people never think of, for example, thinking they might not be able to do their job someday. And all of a sudden, one accident or one stroke or, God forbid, any of these things happen. Or your field goes away. And people never think their field's going to go away. They never think so. I talked to a person who's very smart and very much into this field, and he told me, Pastor, I just want you to know, even if they didn't export those jobs, I've seen the future of robotics. There's not going to be manufacturing jobs. These robots are going to be able to do everything. And most people don't see that. I laugh because my father-in-law, stepfather-in-law, I guess it is, something like that, his grandpa was part owner of a very large blacksmith shop back at the turn of the century in 1900, 1905. And 1910, him and his partner were together. And he said, you know what? I think wagons are going out. One of them did. His partner did. And he said, I'm going to the car business. He says, you know what? They'll always need horses and wagons. I'm going to stay in the blacksmith business. And one became very wealthy and one got phased out. And so disasters like that can happen, and financially you need to be prepared. And here's something, I don't want to be unkind, I don't mean anything mean by that. I understand there are times in our life where we're living check to check. And that's wherever you're young or you're you have financial setbacks or you have health issues. I understand all those things. But understand, when you have the money, I don't think you lay up for yourself treasures on earth to love those treasures, but I do think putting away for winter is good. And so when you get unemployed, or when you all of a sudden have a health issue, or all of a sudden something happens, you have some time. You have some time. I like what Dave Ramsey talks about. I think 3 to 6 months income for an emergency fund is good. It's a lot of money. Understand that, but if you live long enough and enough people, you'll see people who never thought they'd be in the trouble they're in. They're in that trouble. That stuff happens. And so that's preparation and finances, and that's foresight. Number two, Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. And verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The word betimes is used, I think, 5 or 6 times in the Bible. It's a neat word. Sometimes people will put the word, like my reference Bible says the word early there. It's not exactly early. It's more than that. The word means to dawn something. Dawn, like the dawn of the morning. That's the word means. And it means the shokar is the word. It means to dawn early at the task. And it means get up early or start early in this thing. Dawn is a symbol of as soon as you can. As soon as you can. That's the way to do it. In children, it says you discipline your child early. I've learned so much about child rearing and done so many things wrong and figured things out as I went. in so many ways. One of the things that I wish I'd have done better with, when my kids were younger, when the older ones were younger, I wish I would have done more discipline between the ages of 9 months and 2 years. That's way more important. Way more important. And the Bible says you discipline them early. It's pretty hard when they've already got it in their system. 8, 9, 10, 12. Very early. And otherwise, people don't think you can discipline a one-year-old. They don't know what they're doing. Yes, they do. They know what no is. They will show you you don't know what it is. They touch it and you say no, and they go. And you spank their hand and take it away and you say no, and they go. You spank, and you just keep, and they push you because they know what it means. And they'll do it over and over again. And us compassionate parents say, they just don't understand. But then after a few kids and watching them a little later, you say, hello, critter is born with a fallen nature. And they know what no means. And they're pushing. And so start it young with child rearing and disciplining them, it says. And it's very good to do that. Do it in love. And of course, but you love them, but you got to do it early. And then by the time they're 4, 5, 6, they are such treasures and pleasant and they're not still pushing you because it's easier to break them, break their will, not their spirit, but their will when they're young. Next, it's much easier to have foresight in temptation. Proverbs 22 in temptation. Proverbs 22, and the exact verse is said twice. The other verse is 27:12. So I'll just read one. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. We could read the strange woman in Proverbs 7 and other chapters. I think it's Proverbs 7 and 5 and other chapters where it talks about, I saw the woman, don't walk by her street. We've talked a lot about that. I just want to tell you, and you know it's true, I know it, is it is easier to not be tempted than to say no in the middle of temptation. Remember, God, he said, lead us not into temptation in the Lord's Prayer. And it's easier to avoid temptation. Don't bring it up and then say, I'm just going to say no when I get there. You dumb. You know that's dumb. We all know that doesn't work very good. If you have a problem with eating too much candy, don't walk in the candy store and say, I'll just be strong. Okay? Just don't go by the candy store. They blow the caramel popcorn smell out on you. They seize candy people. I tell you, you got to watch out for them. They're trying to ruin your life. And but you know, if you want to give your pastor peanut brittle, you know, I will not be tempted when it's there. I just want to look at it and hold it and smell it. But we go and we put ourselves in place of temptation. And the Bible says, foresees the evil and far off and hides himself. It's easier to foresee the temptation coming and keep yourself from being tempted. Next, it's good to have foresight in having wisdom. Proverbs 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Wisdom talking, verse 1. Many spots here. Wisdom is just talking. Verse 12, I wisdom dwell with prudence. And verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. If you seek wisdom early, you gain it. We've talked a lot about this, but can I tell you, whatever you're going to need wisdom for, get it before you get there. It's not good to get about 10,000 feet onto Mount Everest and say, you know what, I need to figure out how to start climbing mountains. But literally, life's like that. You don't want to get there where your kids are growing up and you're saying, I really need wisdom how to raise my kids. Or be married and say, this is going terrible. I need wisdom. You might already have done damage that's going to stay. You don't have car problems and your car is falling to pieces because you didn't maintain it and say, I need to figure out how to maintain my car. The damage is already done. In life, you need wisdom before you get there so you hit the ground running, making the right decisions. Young people, don't go into your dating, courting life and then all of a sudden say, what should I do now? I've got a boyfriend. You're in trouble. Everything in life is I see ahead of time on this thing. I'm going to have foresight and do that. Because it's disaster when you're in the middle of it. Because wisdom gets mad at you because you forsook it when it was talking to you early. And then at the end, wisdom does not help you. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. It's always a powerful passage for me when I read it. Proverbs 1:20, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse. She's screaming, verse 20:22, how long, ye simple ones, we love simplicity, and scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refuse, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my proof. So you're not wise, you're not living wisely, you're not doing what the wise person should do. Okay, now it's going bad, I want wisdom. Can I tell you, just watching people, it doesn't work then. Seeking wisdom in the disaster, you're asking for mercy, not wisdom. Most of the damage is usually done. Verse 25, but ye have said, and not all my counsel, would none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early. Remember, those who seek me early find me, but now they're going to seek me early, but they're not going to find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. So it's too late. Wisdom is not good to try to get in the middle of a disaster. It's not good to try to get there. Late wisdom usually ends in disaster. Can you imagine if Noah would have went and said, okay, you know what? It's getting cloudy. Let's go build an ark. Listen to me. It took Noah 100 years. No one had ever built the boat before. He did not have anybody around him. He was in dry land. Somebody probably built a boat somewhere, but not one to hold all the animals of the world. You know what? He had to develop the tools. And you know what? When you do something you've never done before, you do it wrong. You know how many times Noah messed up that ark? If it took him 100 years... You know how many times I've had to do projects I didn't know? I'm in one of them right now. I'm fixing my septic. You know, you'll get amazed at the wisdom you can gain when you don't have money and you have a problem. And so, you know, you go out and you figure it out. And Noah, he probably 30 years in that thing, said, oh no, this isn't going to work. I mean, he had some time. The animals had to come. The snail had to get there. And all these things had to happen. And so he took time and he built the ark ahead of time. And it was 100 years, the Bible says, in building the ark. He didn't know when it was going to rain. God didn't say 100 years. He just started building. And I think when you know something's going to happen, you prepare and you do things ahead of the time. I think the story of the storms of life, it says one man built his house upon a rock, one man built his house upon a sand. They didn't know that it's too late when the storm is beating on your house and your walls are collapsing. Well, how should I build a foundation? What am I going to do to keep my house together? Where's the duct tape? Okay, it's probably too late. Your foundation is gone. The sand is pulling out and your house is falling to pieces. You think ahead and say, you know what? I live on the coast and there's storms here. Maybe I should build a house upon a rock. And you're going to have storms in life. How many naive young people don't even think of what problems might come in life? They never think they're going to get unhealthy. They never think they're going to have a problem. I love when you talk to a 17-year-old and says, well, I'll just never gain weight. And you know what? I'll always stay in shape. They never think of being busy in life and having, you know, a life and their body changes and now the Cheetos stick to you and all those things. Never think of that stuff. But when you think ahead and you because it's when it's too late, it's too late. And then you're in big trouble. So think ahead. Think there will come storms. There will come problems. I need to be ready for marriage. Everybody thinks that they're not going to have problems in marriage because they're so wonderful and the person they're married is so wonderful and loves them so much. Why don't you learn as much as possible just in case those problems come? Well, my kids always be cute and sweet. Well, you might just gain a whole bunch of wisdom in case they aren't that. And that's a wise thing to do. It not until it's too late, and then you're in big trouble. You do it, but times you do it early, and you prepare yourself. I want to tell you a story. This is the story of the big bad wolf and the five little pigs. Once upon a time, there was five little pigs, and they went out and they decided to go out and live their life. One little pig found a bunch of hay, and he says, "This will build a house very easily and very quickly." And he built his house of hay, and he built it very quickly and said, "I've got a house now," and it's built. And another one said, "Well, here's some cheap wood laying around, and I can build a house of this really quick that I can play around, and you know what? I'll have my house really quick." And he built his house of wood. Another one went out, and he said, "You know what? I need a house that's going to last and something that's going to be strong and something that's going to keep me safe." And so he built this house of brick, and it took a long time. And while the other two were going out and they were dancing around and having fun and playing because their house was already built, the other one was still building and working very hard to build his brick house. Another one said, "I'm having fun," and he never even thought about a house. And he said, "You know what? I'll get taken care of somehow. Somebody will let me live in their house, or the government will take care of me, or something will happen good, but it'll all work out just fine. I'm going to go play." And he went out and had a whole bunch of fun. Another one went out, and he looked, and he said, "You know what, let me just think about this. If I'm going to build a house, well, you know what, I'm a pig, and pigs are yummy, and pigs aren't very tough. You know what, I'm going to build a house that's sturdy. I'm going to make sure it has a good foundation. I'm going to make sure that it'll hold rain. I'm going to make sure that it's not going to rot. I'm going to make sure it lasts a long time. I'm going to make sure also it's safe from predators." And so he went out and started building a house also. Well, along comes a big bad wolf, and he sees the three playing, the one that didn't even think about a house. They just figured out everything would end up okay. The one who built the hay house and the one who built the wood house. And the wolf came up and chased after them, and they ran into the straw house. And along comes the wolf and says, "Let me into your house." And they said, "Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin." And the wolf huffed, and he puffed, and he blew his house down. And there went the hay, whoosh, every direction. And off, you know, it's the first time you all paid attention to the sermon at once. And what mentality do we have? And it's almost like a Sunday, preach on Goldilocks. But we go, and the pigs are standing there. Where'd the house go? And they run, and they take off to the wood house right with the wolf behind them. And the wolf says, "Let me into your house." And they said, "Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. I'll huff and I'll puff and blow your house down." And he blows, and it kind of creaks a little bit. And he blows again, and the house begins to crumble. He blows again, and the house falls to pieces. And the three pigs are shocked and scared. And the wolf comes and chases them. And he gets behind them. And the one who didn't think of anything, he was just not fast enough. And he got gobbled up. And the other two ran into the brick house. Well, big bad wolf goes to the brick house and says, "Let me into your house, or I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down." The one says, "Nope, I'm not going to let you in by the hair of my chinny chin chin." And he's going to huff and puff. And he huffs and puffs and blows, and the bricks hold. And he blows again, and the bricks hold. And he blows again, and the bricks hold. Oh, the wolf is frustrated, so he decides he's going to climb on top of the house and go down the chimney. And as he climbs on the chimney, he says, "There's a fire in there. It's way too hot. What am I thinking?" And he climbs back out and goes back into the forest. And the pig said, "Whew." But then the pig says, "We can't leave the house. And we don't have enough food. And we're in big trouble." The wolf sits there and waits and waits and waits, and he's getting hungry, and the three pigs are getting hungry. He says, "You know what? There's another house over there, and there's another brick house. Let's see if I can get him to come out, or if I can blow his house down, or if he made a mistake, or if I can climb down his chimney, or I can find an unlocked window." And he goes up the front door of that porch, and he stands up there, and he goes, "Let me into your house." And he says, "I'm not going to let you in." He says, "Let me in, or I'll blow your house down." And the pig that thought ahead, he pushes a button and a trap door opens up, and the wolf falls into some water with an alligator into it, and the alligator eats the wolf. And that pig walks out of the house dusts his hands off, says, all right, now I'm going to get me some food. Because you know what? I first saw the whole story, and I was prepared for that wolf or any other animal that comes. And my life's set. And those guys have been hungry all day. But you know what? I'm just fine because I first saw the entire thing that can happen, and I have no emergency. And can I just tell you, stop in your life, because a lot of things that become your disaster, and you think it was just, boom, this just happened suddenly. But what could you have done that would have kept it from being a disaster now? What could you have prepared for? How could you have done this? And just simple things like not being in debt. Things like, well, I'm not married yet. When I'm about to get married, I'll start reading books. Why don't you read a good book about marriage when you're 16? Why don't you prepare to counsel somebody before they ask you a question? Because you know what you do when you ask you a question you haven't prepared for it? You say, you know, I think I ought to pray about it. And then you make up things, and then later you say, what did I just tell them? Why? Because you haven't prepared. And foresight foresees the evil, and foresight says I prepare in summer, and foresight says I'm going to take care of this now while I can, and I'm going to do these things ahead of time. It's about for prayer. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word. I pray to be people who see things ahead of time. I pray to be people of foresight. I pray to be people who think the process through, and don't always, Lord, though crazy things happen and will be in emergencies, they're not complete disasters. And those things that would have been an emergency now are just bad things. And those things that are bad things don't even happen sometimes because we've had foresight. Lord, help us to use this principle of the Bible. I think how you talk about the person who doesn't plant his field and doesn't have a harvest. Lord, please help us to do the wise thing and have foresight in life. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes